Welcome back to the Voices of Long COVID podcast. I'm your host, Noelle. On each episode, I'll be featuring a different long COVID sufferer and sharing their story. We will learn about the strength and resilience of those who continue to persevere with this chronic condition that has drastically altered their lives. There are an estimated 400 million people suffering with long COVID worldwide. People say they don't know anyone with long COVID. Well, now you can say that you do. On this week's episode, the tables are turned and I'm going to be the one interviewed. I'm joined again by my friend James, who is going to be guest host today. Welcome back, James.
Thank you for having me. I'm thrilled to be part of this journey of yours.
I'm going to tell my long COVID story. And in order to do that, I need to first start by telling my husband's story. It's almost unbelievable, the series of events that took place. And I think it's worth sharing. And I have my husband's permission to share. There's been a lot of minimizing of COVID lately. And so I want to tell not a long COVID story, but a COVID story, which really shows what can happen if we abandon all the precautions and the learning and the progress that we've made, and if we start to rest on our laurels. It's actually really traumatic for me, but I'm going to do my best to keep my chin up while I tell it.
Well, let's start at the beginning, which for you was the spring of 2020, I believe.
Yeah, it was the very beginning of the pandemic. If you think back to February 2020, we were hearing about this thing called the coronavirus, and we were still being told that it only affects the elderly. I would watch our local daily COVID press briefings, and one of the reporters asked our provincial health officer if people should be wearing masks, and she said that masks were not necessary. And I kind of felt in my gut, like, why not just err on the side of caution?
Right.
Even if you're saying this isn't airborne. And so I looked for masks, but I couldn't find any online at that time. So my husband and I were both teachers, and I was increasingly starting to feel uncomfortable about teaching those last 2 weeks before spring break. I don't know if you remember that period of time.
Yeah.
You know, we're in a building of 400 or in his case, 600 people. And we had this huge trip to Disneyland planned.
Oh gosh.
For spring break. It was going to be a surprise for our kids, and they'd never been. They were 7 and 11 at the time. And we'd been planning it for 2 years. And I just felt this mounting sense of, I don't think we should be traveling right now.
Right. Yeah.
It was the Wednesday before we were supposed to leave. We were going to leave on the Sunday, and I hadn't even started packing yet, which is not like me at all. So that night I said to my husband, I don't think we should go. And,
yeah.
he was like, we've done so much planning. We've been waiting 11 years until the kids were old enough and for Star Wars Land to open, like, we'll be fine. We should go. So I packed that night. And then the next day I hear that Disneyland had been closed down for the first time in its history ever.
Wow.
It was super disappointing. So I unpacked 24 hours later. And it was a good thing we had never told the kids. And I knew that there was something more important than our little trip going on.
Yeah.
So we canceled the trip. And then that weekend, the whole world started shutting down. On the Sunday, the day that we were supposed to leave for California, my husband, who was a healthy 45-year-old, said to me, I feel like I'm coming down with something.
Oh, no.
I gave him major side eye, and I was like, what do you mean? And he said, you know, I'm pretty sure it's just allergies. He has seasonal allergies. So a couple days go by, and then he starts feeling really ill, and he develops this fever. So I set him up in the basement, and we quarantine him down there. And there's me upstairs sanitizing everything like crazy. I'm scrubbing my hands till my knuckles are bleeding. because our provincial health officer kept saying, wash your hands, wash your hands.
Right.
I'm entertaining the kids because we can't go anywhere and my family is traveling at the time. And I'm on my own. My husband just keeps getting sicker and sicker. And I can hear him coughing from two floors up all night long, just constant coughing 24/7.
Whoa.
I'm leaving food at the top of the stairs for him. I'm texting him every 4 hours to remind him to take Tylenol for the fever. I called 811 twice, which is our local nurse's line. And both times they're on the phone with me for an hour and saying, it sounds like your husband has COVID. When he's out of breath, call 911, which is terrifying to hear that.
Wow.
Not if he's out of breath, but when he's out of breath. And everything that I had heard so far was you get COVID, you get the COVID pneumonia, you end up in the ICU, and odds are you don't make it out of the hospital. So it's pretty scary.
Yeah.
So no one could come into the house and we couldn't go out. Nobody could help us. I was ordering groceries online and there were supply chain issues happening. And I kept entertaining the kids and not telling them that their dad most likely had COVID, just that he was sick and he was in the basement. Mm. I would throw all the recycling, like the cardboard and the plastic, into a corner so that my daughter could create things. And she's really creative, like her dad. So she made a guitar at one point. Like, how do you entertain, educate, feed the kids, clean, continue to work out, make like everything is okay while you're absolutely terrified?
Unreal.
So I knew enough to get a friend to drop off a pulse oximeter to measure my husband's blood oxygen levels.
Right.
And his levels were into the 80s, which is not good. He had no appetite. He was lying down 23 and a half hours a day. No TV on, nothing. I would put something at the top of the stairs and text him to come and get it. And it would take him half an hour to go from lying to sitting, sitting to standing, walk up the one flight of stairs. That would take him half an hour.
Wow.
He became lethargic and confused. He lost 20 pounds in 2 weeks. And this is a guy, he's already 6 feet tall and slim, but now his clothes were hanging off of him and he looked like he had aged 20 years.
Wow.
He became so lethargic that he stopped responding to text messages. So I would have to go down into the basement and kind of have my shirt over my mouth to make sure that he was still breathing. And I never knew what I was going to find when I went down there because he just wasn't even responding.
Oh, no.
So at the 2 week mark, all three of us, so myself and our two kids, also became ill. My husband had a couple phone calls with his doctor and he's always one to downplay things. So he was downplaying his symptoms.
Right.
But he had a round the clock high fever for 15 days.
Incredible.
That's with Tylenol. Tylenol wasn't even making a dent. And I started pummeling his or percussing his lungs because he had wheezing sounds. Like he sounded like he had pneumonia. And I remember I had had pneumonia when I was in college. So I remember that you were supposed to really percuss the lungs. So his doctor says, okay, take him to the hospital. So I set the kids up in one of their bedrooms, like, oh, it's movie night. Like just kind of lock them into that room. And because I didn't want them to see the hospital and get freaked out. And I drove him to one of our local hospitals, Ridge Meadows. And I dropped him off at the front door, thinking like, is this the last time I'm ever going to see him? Like he is so sick. Cause you couldn't go into the hospital at that point. Right. And so he's in there for about 3 hours. They gave him a chest x-ray and said, you have pneumonia, probably due to COVID, but we can't test you because you haven't traveled and you're not a healthcare worker.
Oh my goodness.
And then they sent him home.
Oh, no.
So no PPE, no mask, nothing. Just sent him home. So I pick him up. And they had given him a prescription for an antibiotic.
Okay.
Not the actual antibiotic, just the piece of paper. Like, how is he supposed to fill that?
Right.
I wasn't about to take him to the pharmacy when, you know, he actively has COVID. So somebody picked that up for us, but it didn't end up helping him at all.
Wow.
We're going to take a break and remind you, with full disclosure, that this podcast takes several days to record and create, depending on the health of the host and the guests. I am relying on the help of others for editing. Any discussion of modalities or treatments are not to be considered medical advice. If you believe you have long COVID, know that you are not alone. Seek out the many Facebook groups for community support, such as Long COVID Canada and COVID Long Haulers Support Group Canada, and please speak to your doctor for medical support. So that weekend, my illness got worse and I couldn't get out of bed. I was so lethargic. I felt like I had a 200-pound elephant sitting on me. I was calling down the stairs to my 11-year-old to microwave a can of beans for lunch and for dinner. Mm-hmm. And my husband continued to deteriorate. So I said, look, you are going to the hospital on Monday. And he said, you know, I booked another phone appointment with my doctor. I'm going to be fine. I'm going to look after you. So he was still downplaying his symptoms, right?
Are you guys all living in the same quarters now because you're all sick, or are you still separated in the house?
We still were separating, right? I'm not sure why, but we did. He's still in the basement mainly, right? So he has his phone call with his doctor, and I overheard him. The doctor must have asked him a question, and he said, yeah, I was coughing up blood.
No.
And I said, give me that phone. And I said to the doctor, I said, he's the sickest I've ever seen him. His skin is gray.
Wow.
He's confused. He's lethargic. And so the doctor said, okay, well, if you're sick, you can't look after him. Call 911 to take him to the hospital.
Yeah.
So again, set up the kids for movie night in the bedroom because I don't want them to see an ambulance taking their dad away. And I call 911. And 5 minutes later, 911 dispatch calls me back. And she says, it sounds like your husband has COVID. We don't want to expose our paramedics to that. And I know you're sick too, but can you drive him?
Oh my goodness.
And I'm like, sure, I'm dizzy and nauseous, but sure, let me do that for you. And I said, you know, should I take him to a different hospital this time? You know, the last one just sent him right home. And she said, no, take him to the same hospital because then they can compare his chest x-rays. So I load him into the car again. He's wheezing. He's weak. He looks absolutely horrible. Drive to the same Ridge Meadows hospital again. And I drop him off at the front door. And again, it's like, is this the last time I'm ever going to see him? He's so ill. And as I'm driving off, I pass the entrance and I see the sliding glass doors open and there's a nurse standing in the doorway and she's in full hazmat gear and she has her arms crossed and she's got this stance to her. And I had this really bad feeling. So I drove around the block and I came back to make sure that he got in okay. And as I drive up, I see him hobbling away from the hospital and the nurse is pointing down the street.
Oh my God.
And she sees me and she rushes back inside the hospital. I pull up beside him and I'm like, where are you going? And he mumbles something and I'm like, just get in the car. And he says, I tried to explain to her, you know, that I'm sick. And she said, you're speaking in full sentences. You know there's nothing we can do for you, right?
Oh my goodness.
And she shoved a pamphlet in his hands and told him to go to the doctor's office down the street.
Oh my God.
Like, this man was so weak and confused, he would never have made it there. So I take a look at the address on the pamphlet and we drive there. It was not close. And we pull up and it's closed.
Oh God.
And I call the phone number and there's just a voicemail. And this was the first time I started feeling like I was living in a zombie apocalypse movie.
No kidding.
Like, what do you mean? My husband is dying and you're refusing him entry into the hospital.
That's scary. That's insane.
Yeah. So peeled rubber out of there and drove him to Surrey Memorial Hospital. I didn't know at the time that there were designated COVID hospitals. Nobody told me this. Nobody was broadcasting this. No one at the hospitals told me this, that there were certain hospitals that you were supposed to go to if you had COVID. And Surrey Memorial was one of them. So we pull up and there's a, what's that?
I said, I didn't know that. I thought you could have just gone to any hospital.
That's what you would think, right? So we pull up and there's a triage tent outside and everyone is in full hazmat gear. Pretty scary time. And I said to my husband, I'm like, don't say anything. And I walked up and I walked up to the male nurse and I said, my husband has been sick for more than 2 weeks, fever of 103 around the clock, and no one will help us. And he said, come on in. Like, just come on in. We'll be back to our interview after a short brain break. The stories of my guests are remarkable in the sense of what they have survived and continue to deal with each and every day. Although unremarkable in that long COVID can happen to anyone, no matter your age or your health. It has happened and it continues to happen. This is an equal opportunity virus. So in my husband goes, and again, is this the last time I'm going to see him? And I rush home to the kids. He gets seen right away. They test him for COVID. They give him a chest x-ray and they rush him up to the top floor, which was the COVID isolation ward. And the doctor says, you have bilateral COVID pneumonia, meaning in both lungs. And on top of that, you have bacterial pneumonia. You came in at the right time. The ICU is ready for you.
Holy.
And, you know, just terrifying.
Did they at that time test him for COVID because he'd been a couple of weeks? Was he still testing positive and did they have tests?
He did. So when they initially tested him, it was done by a volunteer and they messed it up. So it was inconclusive, but he did later on, you know, 2.5 weeks into his illness, test positive in hospital.
Wow.
So they put the nasal oxygen on him and he was in a sealed room all by himself. Every time the nurses came in and out of the room, they had to peel off their hazmat gear and throw it out. They gave him about 5 different medications. And of course, the man had no cell phone. He at that time only had like a 7-Eleven phone, like one of those phones you can place.
Phone.
What's that?
Like, a burner phone. Burner phone.
Yeah, a burner phone. So one of those phones you can play Snake on and that's about it. That's all you can do with it. And he had no minutes on it. So we had a good talk about that afterwards, like emergencies. And so he had access to the one phone on the COVID ward only twice a day. It was covered with saran wrap and they would have to clean it between users. So I would wait 12 hours each day without hearing anything. Like, did he make it through the day? And so he was there for about 6 days, and whatever they gave him started to work. Then they sent him home. And so I sat the kids down and I said, so you know how daddy's been in the hospital? Well, he has COVID, but he's going to be okay. And my son says, yeah, I figured it was COVID. And my daughter said, I asked Siri what the symptoms of COVID are, and she told me already. So I wasn't passing anything by them. So we go to pick him up, and back into the basement bunker he goes. And it took another 3 weeks for him to recover, and he fully recovered. So I think he was case number 58 in all of BC.
Wow.
That they tested. And the health authority would call every day to make sure that myself and the kids were quarantining. But they refused to test us, and they said we were presumptive positives. And my gut was like, again, you know, you should always listen to your gut. My gut said you should be getting tested. But there was nothing I can do about it. And I knew watching the press conferences each day that the numbers were inaccurate. So for every positive person in a household, the rest of the household wasn't being tested.
Right.
So my husband fully recovered, and I thought, we are so lucky. We went through battle and we all came out of this on the other side. And I had no idea that this was just the beginning. Thank you for listening. Next week, I'll get into my long COVID story, so be sure to join me then. Thank you to Craig Rogers for writing and recording this amazing theme music. Thank you for listening. Please make sure to follow Voices of Long COVID on our Instagram, TikTok, X, and YouTube accounts. New episodes drop every Wednesday wherever you listen to podcasts. Until then, stay safe and stay informed.